Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink Podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hello, my name is Ryan, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks so much, Bob, for asking me or letting me share. I feel like it's letting me. So let me start by qualifying. I have been in program since 2021, but I'm abstinent since August 28th, 2021. So 2 years, 7 months, 2 days. So and that, you know, during that time, my abstinence has very much evolved and grown. And I think I think I can finally feel like this is probably going to be what it looks like for a very long time moving forward. And so, you know, I to share my abstinence as well, I have three meals, two optional snacks. And three meals means I have to eat three meals. Like, it's not like the meals are optional. I have to do that. And some people don't get it. Like, I asked a coworker what he has for lunch because there's like no break room where we are. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'll get a pack of nuts or something from the gas station, or, you know, I won't eat lunch. And I'm like, that's not an option for me because I know things are going to go wrong if I do that. So three meals and two optional snacks, and those snacks are very optional. They used to be more of a regular thing, but somehow without like intentionally doing it, I minimize it. And it's just not happening that much. And that's a great feeling to not have to think about that. And you eat and be done. Why am I in program? Why am I in this program? Why am I a compulsive overeater? I can't help myself. You know, when someone offers me something that I don't eat, I say, look, if I start, I can't stop. So I don't start. And that's just the basic truth of it. That's the oversimplified version of, you know, why I can't eat certain things. And my highest weight was 255 pounds and I'm only 5'6". So, you know, not great. I have high cholesterol, so I take rosuvastatin for it, and I'm only 30 years old. Not great. and it's, you know, those are the big things, but the little things were the toughest, like not being able to breathe very easily when I tie my shoes, you know, like just the holding your breath just to get down and tie your shoes and then come back up, take another breath and then go to the next foot. And it's like, things like that. And it's those little things. And you know, I've learned through my time in the program that it's the little things that will, you know, take me over the edge. You know, it's not the big, the huge, you know, the humongous things. A lot of times I'm like, oh, this is life, you know, but it's the last straw. It's not the barn full of straw. It's the last straw, right? And that doesn't weigh much. So there's a reason that phrase came about. And so I've done some crazy things with before coming into program, things that, you know, I look back and I'm like, I cannot believe I did that. And I've heard other people share things and I say, I could never do that. So it's just like different levels for different people and different things that, you know, we felt we needed to do to survive, because that's the basic truth of it, is I did that to survive. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that at the time. It took a little bit of time in program to even remember or realize or have a sponsor point out, like, or somebody else share. We did that to survive. That's the only way we knew how. And it wasn't healthy, but it's healthier than, you know, offing ourselves or anything else along those lines. And so we made it through, and now we get to recover, and now we get to live a happier, healthier life. And let me share some of those things that I did. The one that's top of mind for me right now is I threw away a lot of food, a lot of, you know, edible food. It wasn't the best tasting. I would say my parents weren't the best with cooking. I don't think my mom knows what salt is, but it was edible. I could have added the salt. That's the point. I could have added some seasoning, right? But forget, like, I could have cooked. I could have just seasoned the food. But instead, I went and ate fast food, made sure to time it that when I'd get home when they wouldn't be home because they'd be working, and I would finish my food, take the food that my parents made, put it in the bag that I got the fast food in, and throw that away, tie it up tight, throw that away in the big trash can in the back so that they wouldn't find it. It took a couple of years, but they found it. And yeah, I did that for a couple of years. And I can't imagine how much food I wasted doing that and how much money, because I was eating fast food twice a day, every day. At some point, I stopped having fast food. I was about 7 years ago now, 7 years and a couple months. And so I even started that before program, but that was financial. It was financially motivated. I knew I needed to lose weight, but I really only stopped because I couldn't afford it anymore. I couldn't keep doing it. So, and because it had nothing to do with the spiritual program, had nothing to do with bettering myself. What did I do? I mean, well, I was all right, no fast food. I guess I'll go to I'll order food from a sit down place. You know, it's my I make these ridiculous reasons and assumptions, and my brain does these mental gymnastics to justify what is okay and what isn't. And it's fascinating looking back at it. You know, so this is where my abstinence has grown. Back a while back, I started with no high sugar candies and chocolates, no high sugar drinks, no sodas, things like that. But milkshakes were fine, right? Like, that doesn't count, does it? You know, like I had these crazy exceptions in my head. And and then eventually I took that out. And the last holdout for me until about a month or month and a half ago was a desserts. And I tried to convince myself, yeah, I don't have that too often. But as soon as I took that out, the conversation in my head of trying to figure out where I want to go to eat completely changed, because I realized I was thinking about where is the dessert that I want to have, who has what restaurant has the dessert I want, and then I'll figure out what actual entree I want. It was the dessert first. And one of the restaurants that I kind of like touted and like I talked to people about and said, yeah, this place is great. Like, I realized I don't actually want to eat there. I just wanted their dessert. And I convinced myself it's a Greek yogurt. Sure, there's lots of toppings in between, but it's a Greek yogurt. It's fine. But no. So I learned that I didn't actually want to go to these places except for that thing that I was addicted to. And now half the time I think about eating out, I don't. I just eat at home. Because the thing I really wanted, the thing my disease was telling me to go get, is not an option anymore. And that gave me so much sanity back. There's so much sanity and time. I don't know how much time I spent going through my phone, going on maps, looking at what restaurants are close by, and then doing the mental math of like, all right, who has what? Because I know the area well enough. And that's insane looking back at it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And there was great reading in the For Today today, and I just wanted to share the last part of it. Sanity is not how well I can hide my anger. It is having no need to react to people, places, and things by becoming angry. I really like that. I thought of it as the same line in the same line as courage is not the absence of fear, it's overcoming it. Right? And so, sanity, having our sanity through program that we've regained, it's not about not having emotions. It's very much about feeling our emotions and being okay with that. And we have tools to move forward with that. And now one of those tools is not to overeat about it. And that's a fantastic thing. I've had a lot of crazy stuff going on lately. And like I have toxic mold poisoning. We had to get rid of 90, 95% of our stuff. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. Tens of thousands of dollars. We lived in a hotel or an Airbnb for 2.5 months. We're trying to detox. Like, it's insane. I was unemployed for over 6 months. This is just in the last 7, 8 months, like, that all these things are happening, and I'm still abstinent through it. And I sure as hell know that if I overate because it was so hard to deal with, I would just still have those problems and more, because I would now be in the food. I would have even less money, because that makes sense, right? I'm unemployed. Let me go out and eat more. And so I'm able to live my life. I'm able to process the things that I go through, and it's okay. I know that it's gonna be okay. And like, no, it's not okay that I got toxic mold poisoning. That's not, absolutely not okay. But it's okay that I can deal with it in that sense, and that I can trust that my higher power is gonna take care of me. And it's like I can look back and say, oh my God, how could my higher power have me unemployed for 6 months? And it's like, well, you know what? I got a job soon as the unemployment money finished. So I was taken care of. I was okay. I made it, right? Could have been way worse. And so there's and I like to share that I used to hear people share things that those crazy things that I never did. And like, I've never eaten out of the trash, things like that. Just those things where I'm like, oh man, I would never. But it's like I learned these two magical words, that it's just that says not yet. It's like, yeah, I've never done that yet. And that's so important, because I can easily get there. Just like I easily lost what, 40 pounds when I did Herbalife, when I did one of my many diets. And that was great. It worked great. Until I was like, all right, I'm doing great. I'm having shakes. They're low calorie, this, that. All right, I can go to fast food once a week. And I was like, all right, this is working. This is working with twice a week. Until I wake up suddenly 2 years later, 3 years later, 60 pounds heavier, so gained back more than I lost, and eating twice a day, every day again with the fast food. Like, how did that happen? And it's really like it's at one point I just snap out of it. I'm like, what year is it? It's amazing how that can happen. And the diets didn't do it for me. And just as easily as I can gain lose 40 and gain 60, I not yet can happen. I can go back to that. It's very possible. And I can gain back, lose the 60 and then gain back 80. And that's not the way I want to go about it. So one of the things that I feel has helped me most in my recovery is recognizing that, I may not have hit a rock bottom so bad that I've done some of those things, but I'm so desperate to not be that desperate. And a lot of times in the Big Book, especially in some of the other programs, it talks about, they hit their rock bottom, and they had nowhere else to go, and so and then that's where program came in. And you know what? I'm so grateful for the Big Book. I remember there was a section of it that really stuck with me that talked about one of the reasons they wrote the book was so that you don't have to hit your rock bottom. You don't have to be 50, 60 years old, go through your whole life, ruin all these relationships, go into debt, maybe go to jail, do all these terrible things that ruin your life, and then now you can get it together. I'm so grateful that I'm only 30 years old, I have 2.5 years of abstinence, that I'm able to be in this program. And that's because I'm desperate to not be that desperate. I'm desperate to not ruin my relationships. I have a fiance who I love and I've been together with for almost 7 years. I don't want to ruin that. And there all these other family relationships, and just building my life and trying to get to that point. And so I don't want to ruin that. And so I'm so desperate to keep what I have. And I'm grateful for that desperation. But and so that was really important for me, especially as a younger person in the program. It was I'm desperate to not be that desperate. And so I work my program fairly religiously. It's got to be the number one, because it's putting my oxygen mask on before I put anybody else's. I know it's such a cliche, but it's a life-saving tactic. It's a life-saving tool. And when we apply it on a day-to-day life, on our day-to-day lives, it's hard to see the impact as if you're on a plane that's going down, but it's there. And some days, sometimes I can, look ahead for the week or the month and I'm fine. And some days I need to just deal with today. I just need to deal with the next 20 minutes. I just can't go past that. And I've learned that more and more as I've gone through the program, as I've let go of more of those red light foods, those things that I just can't stop or I can't stop thinking about, right? Even if I only eat it once a week, if I can't stop thinking about it, then I'm still controlled by it, right? I'm still powerless over it. And so being able to let go of it gives me so much sanity back. Sanity, time, patience. Just to know it's not an option feels so good. And so my abstinence list is it's like my law book. I remember hearing somebody once say they just got to call their sponsor and say, like, hey, is it illegal to kill someone? Oh, it is? Okay, all right, I won't do it. Like, that's it. And that's my abstinence list. It's like, all right, well, I don't remember. Like, can I have the, oh no, it's on a red light. No. All right, not an option. And that's so powerful to me, and it's so important. And my first year starting in with my abstinence, we went to five different weddings, and it was really helpful that they weren't Persian weddings. I'm Persian Jewish, so with ours it's very different. And I know we have about 5 minutes left, so it's very different. With the weddings that we went to, they were all from my fiance's side. They were also Jewish, but not Persian. So it's that different aspect. It was all plated food, which is so much easier. You choose your meal, you know what it is, right? But with Persian weddings, oh man, forget the number of people. Let's just talk about the amount of food. Like somehow, even though we have such large weddings, there's still enough food to feed the homeless in LA left over. Like, I don't understand it. So you start with 5 o'clock, you get there, there's hors d'oeuvres, as much as you can eat, basically. It doesn't run out somehow. And then 6 o'clock, you go and you have the ceremony. Then maybe 7 o'clock, it's done, and you come back, and you can have more hors d'oeuvres if you want. And then you go dance, enjoy, mingle, whatever. 10 o'clock, buffet. You have the food that comes out, and it's like 250 people long tables with unlimited food, essentially. And that's 10 o'clock, right? So it's late. So we've already gone 5 hours here. And then you go dance, all that, have fun. And then maybe, 12, 1 o'clock, you have the desserts that come out, the nuts, almonds, fruits, tea, coffee, those things come out. It's Foodorama, it's insane. Like, they have to turn the lights off and on to get you out of the hors d'oeuvres to go to the main hall because people are just all over it. It's just everywhere there. So I actually created an abstinence specific to events, dinners and events, because I needed that. And this is one of, goes to one of the other things that I think is, along with the desperation to not be that desperate, one of the other most important things in my abstinence and in my daily life, I believe, is honesty. If I'm not honest with myself about what is a problem for me, food, behavior, whatever it is, what I can and can't handle, then it's not going to work. And this is where my abstinence has grown. And if I didn't update my abstinence and add in those things to the red light that I knew, like, all right, this is a problem, it seems clear, then I would be in the food. I would not be abstinent anymore. So when I'm able to be honest with myself about what is and isn't a problem, and so I know events are a problem when you're just surrounded by it. Everybody's got it in their hands, this and that. So what I do for for the weddings is no more than two little plates of appetizers. So that's usually around 5, 5:30, right? And then dinner's not till 10. So it's kind of like a snack. It's like 4 or 5 hours later is dinner. So no more than two little plates of the appetizers. Then when I get to dinner, it's one plate only. That's my rule all the time. It's I don't, go back for left for seconds ever, but especially at buffets, it's one plate. And I don't have a restriction to like what part of the plate that's it's when it's too restrictive, then we can't maintain it. And so I don't make a mountain, but It's one plate and I don't go back for seconds. And then now there's no dessert. Before I had a plan for that. It was either one big one, which is like maybe a slice of cake, two medium ones, or two little or four little ones. Like I had this whole plan because you never know what you're gonna get. And I want my dessert. I gotta be ready for it. But now it's not even an option. I don't have to think about it. And I'm not gonna be hungry after that. I could think, oh, I might have a snack. I'll have some nuts. That'll be fine. No, I'm not gonna be hungry. So I'm grateful that I have the I can be honest with myself about that, have that realization, and I have a plan. When we're at dinner, they bring that the bowl of bread to the table. I don't have any more than two pieces of that with butter. Like that's that's what it is. Then I, and I have my entree, and then there's the no dessert now. And one of the other things that's really helped me is being able to eat slower. And if you need to talk more, do that. That's obviously no problem for me. So talking to people when you're with them, it helps you eat slower. And and it takes like 20 minutes for your brain and your stomach to communicate that you're full. And so that really has helped me to practice more intuitive eating. And I find myself not finishing my meal. My sponsor, he finds himself as a comedian, and he thinks he's funny. And he tells me, he's like, I've never left that much plate on a food before. On that much food on a plate before. He told me that one time, because I got full and I didn't want to finish the meal. And that's so fantastic. Thank you. So I get more food the next day. I get leftovers. I get to have another meal of this fantastic meal because I can, let go of it and just stop. And it's so fantastic. This is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any of one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first three questions have been asked before raising your hand. If you have a question, please click the raise your hand icon. And we have a timer up for how long we will be going. Sean.
Thanks, bud. Great job. Appreciate your qualification and share this morning. And you mentioned your top weight, but you didn't mention what your weight is now. And also, a second one is, what are some of the activities that you get to participate in now that you're in a program? And could you elaborate on that a little bit? Thanks, bud.
Thanks. I'm down to about 205 pounds, so about 50 pounds down, and about 25 to go to my goal for now. We'll reevaluate then. But I want to, add to that that it's I only weigh once a month because when I did it every day, the night before, I would think like I'll have a light dinner so that it looks good tomorrow morning. The scale looks good, and it's like so it took my sanity. It took some of my sanity. So I only weigh once a month, or doctor's offices, but I don't count that. I mean that's not in the morning, before anything else like I do normally. It's after maybe breakfast or lunch with shoes, clothes, all these things. So yeah, and then some of the things that I do now, and I'll tell you, it's not just the things I do, but it's the way I do them and how I feel doing them. I was very active even when I was overweight. I'm a second degree black belt. I taught for 8 years. I taught at my highest weight. I taught at my lowest weight. And I could feel the difference. I remember getting to a point, because we do this, we did a stretch. I taught 3 years old and up. So, I would have to do these things with the kids. So I was very active. But when your food is not right, it doesn't matter. You're not going to lose weight. It doesn't matter how active you are, unless you're really that active. But I wasn't that active. And I would do the things, and I remember doing like rock and roll. You just hug your knees and roll back and come back, sit up again, roll back, and it's a stretch for the back. And I remember not being able to hug my knees fully, and not to the point of getting wrapped at holding my own hands. And then I remember getting to the point where I could, and then the point where it was so easy. And I'm just like, it was such a good feeling. Like I said before, it's the little things, right? And that felt so good to be able to do that. And so it's just tiny little things, the way the belt felt around me and the uniform not feeling tight. And so there are a lot of things like that. And just exercising in general is so much easier now. And tying my shoes, not having to hold my breath. My God. It's the amazing things like that. Wearing jeans and feeling comfortable. I have to wear slacks to work now every day. I finally got a job. I started about 2 weeks ago, so which is fantastic. I finally got something. I'm looking for something better, but I got something, and that's fantastic. And but I have to wear slacks, and I was always so uncomfortable in jeans or slacks. I would always wear my shorts or sweats, but now I'm enjoying it. I get to look good. I feel good. My fiance looks at me like, ooh, and so it that there's all these things, and it's not always going to be like, oh, my life is amazing. I go, mountain climbing now or this and that. It's not even, that's not the lifestyle I want. But the fact is that I'm able to do certain things a lot more. I also had ACL reconstruction surgery, so I had to recover and then got COVID at one point while doing PT, which did not help, and the inflammation. So that messed me up a lot. And I've still gotten more healthy and lost a little bit more weight since then. And the pain has gone away. And along with, I would say, probably some other things like some turmeric and things like that, that's really helped. But it's made a huge difference in a lot of ways. And being and having going for a short, easy hike used to hurt and would start, giving me some pain in the leg, and now it doesn't. So just so many things I can go on. All right, Frank.
Oh, Ryan, what an amazing chair, and bring such spirit and energy into the rooms, and so beautiful to see, and especially as a young man in the program, it's so happy to see that. I have a question about what I believe is one of the biggest issues that most addicts have, is dealing with uncertainty. Tell us how you use the tools of the program to get through it, where you've had success and where you've fallen short. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. He knows which buttons to push and what to ask me. Uncertainty. I hate uncertainty with a passion. And a lot of the problems that I've had in program, and I've seen it for other people as well, is they come back to fear. Where I'm afraid of something, and that fear makes me act out. I'm afraid of dealing with my emotions, so I eat to numb them out. I'm afraid to have this conversation, so I procrastinate. And what am I doing to procrastinate? Eating. So that the fear of uncertainty is very powerful, and for a long time, it was a large controller of my actions and behavior. My higher power has definitely given me a lot of practice with dealing with uncertainty, especially recently. It seems like it's day by day that I find out what my schedule is going to be for work the next day. And I hate it. I hate it so much. Like, I have to, like 2 minutes before I leave, I'm like, so when should I come tomorrow? And it's while I'm training. They don't have a set schedule yet, and I understand that, but I just, and I don't like it, but I can accept it. And it's like, it's gonna be what it is. And I wasn't always as comfortable with that, but I can just say, it's gonna work out. It's worked out so far. I've made it through all these other things. Figuring out my schedule can wait. I'll figure it out. And it's not to say I haven't done anything about it. I talked with my manager and asked, like, oh, do you have any idea? I'd like to have Tuesday night and Saturday morning available for myself, because that's when I have my commitments. And so and program is number one for me. And so I brought that up with her, and she's like, oh, I know you're the latest person to add on, so you would have the last priority on scheduling and this and that. I'm like, yeah, totally understand that. This is just really important. I told her, like, I'm an Overeaters Anonymous. I explained to her, like AA, but with food. It's very important to me, my sanity, and for me that I'm functioning really well to have this. And I have commitments that I make, and so it's just Tuesday night. So I just would need to be done by this time, and Saturday morning I can start by this time. That's it, because these are the meetings I have commitments to, and I don't want to give that up. I'm sure I could find somebody to cover me, but that's not the point. I need it for me. So having service, having things that I'm doing, helps me deal with that uncertainty. And because it's so nice to have the certainty that this meeting is going to be here, I have a lot of certainties, the certainty that I have fellows I can call or text, you know? So that's the other thing is, you know, we can focus so much on the uncertainty, but what about the certainties? I'm certain that my fiance loves me. I'm certain that my higher power is looking out for me. I'm certain that, you know, I have a support system. So that is very, very powerful. And I was looking for this one reading. As soon as I read this, I felt very targeted. It says, "As a small child, I was afraid of the dark. I outgrew that particular fear, but not the underlying reason for it, fear of the unknown." And so as exciting as new ideas, new challenges may be, there's always that hesitation to jump in. So that, you know, that reading really just, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, this is about me. This is how I feel that. So there are things I'm still afraid of and perhaps will always be afraid of, but I've overcome fear before and will again. That kind of goes back to the another cliche that I like to throw out is, which is we've gotten through 100% of our worst days. So we can get through them again. Thanks. Irulome.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much. Hi, kitchen sink. Thanks so much for talking like very specifically about your food and your plan of action around food. I wanted to ask when you let go of desserts. You said that was pretty recently. Can you talk more about what led you to that decision and now how you manage in the absence of desserts, which I'm guessing were like sugary, like your relationship with sugar? Do you feel like sugar is now calling to you in other foods, and do you have a plan of action around that as well?
Great. Thanks so much. So, I wish I let go of it sooner, you know, but it kind of similar to a rock bottom in a way, it got to a point where I was just like, this, like I'm spending so much time and energy trying to figure out where to get desserts. And you know, if my fiance was gone for the week or something like that, and or you know, for the day. Maybe she was visiting family, or maybe she was at school today, like whatever it is. I would be thinking, where can I get food? And part of that is she has a lot of food restrictions, so there's places that we can't, a lot of places we can't go. And for me, and like when she's not in the picture for it, then I'm like, oh, like I can go wherever. But I know I just realized I was like, yeah, every time I'm on my own, I'm thinking, where can I get it? And it's like, where can I score? You know? I was never really into drugs and alcohol. Thank God that's not a problem for me. I don't know why. It just doesn't do anything for me. But the food is it's the same thing. Before coming to OA, I went to meetings for other programs and to support people and I would sit there nodding my head because I understood what they were talking about. I had no problems with the substance they were talking about, but I knew what the feelings they were sharing. So just I finally was honest with myself about it, right? And I got to that point where I was just like, this is not sustainable. I can't keep spending so much time and energy on this. I don't like this. And the way I did that, the way I took the next steps was, and this is where it's good to have you have your abstinence plan. So I have my red light foods that I don't touch. I have my yellow lights that like I got to keep an eye on, and my sponsor knows about. And then I have my food plan, which is separate from my abstinence. And so the food plan is, you know, things I might want to be trying to do. Maybe I want to test out something for my abstinence before I make it official. Because my abstinence is a it's the law book, and you can't repeal laws that easily, right? So if I'm putting this in the law, if I'm making this law, I need to make sure I want it, that I'm set for it. So I tested it out for my food plan. I did it for about a week because I already kind of felt like this is probably what I'm going to do. But if I wasn't sure, I would probably do it for like 2 weeks. But just making sure, like, all right, is this going to work out? Like, can I do it? And it worked. It was great. Like, as soon as I was like, all right, I'm going to pretend like it's in my abstinence, and it was not an option anymore. It felt great, and so I was able to let go of it. And then I was like, all right, yeah, I'm adding it to my abstinence, and I'll let my sponsor know. So, did I miss any questions? There was like kind of like a 2-3 part.
Yeah, I was asking, so now that you've let it desserts go, do you feel like been finding craving for sweets or sugar in other areas, and how do you manage that?
Right. Yeah, a lot of times, and I've seen it with a lot of fellows who are double winners. You know, they come from other programs because once they let go of that, they found themselves having more food. And one of my sponsees is a double winner. Actually, both are. So, you know, I get that. And for me, sometimes I get more into video games, maybe, or other types of food. It doesn't even have to be sugar. And like when I let go of fast food and I wanted to just still eat out, I just ate out at other places that happened to be more expensive, right? Like, so not these days, but back then. And so, so I'm very lucky in where we are right now, kind of as a society. There's very little excuse because there's so many great foods nowadays that are healthy. And it's amazing. I mean, like stevia is my best friend. Like stevia is fantastic. And I found a way to get the one that has, it's just straight stevia powder. It's, there's no erythritol or any sugar alcohols in it. So I sweeten my tea with it, you know, whatever it is. It's fantastic. We have a very nice friend who likes to bake, and she made us, you know, some baked goods with Swerve, you know, so it's like, so no sugar, you know, so that's nice. Sometimes those things happen, but for the most part, the craving kind of went away, you know, it just kind of stopped. And it helps that I focused on the gratitude of, you know, how amazing that it feels to not have to do worry about that, the sanity that I gained, this and that. But there's also so many great options. I could go to my cabinet and name like 8 different things that are fantastic that, you know, that I have great options for. So there's a lot of things out there, and having those restrictions helped me find those things, because I went and looked like, all right, well, what could I have? I love Zevia. It's a stevia sweetened sparkling water. It's like 4 ingredients. There's no sugar. It's very natural. It's great. And it doesn't make me want to go and have sodas. I don't do diet soda because I know that's going to make me feel like I may as well just have real soda. But this doesn't do that. Zevia doesn't do that to me. So knowing that is very important, and being honest, like, all right, well, what's going to make me feel that way? And so, but some people don't do the stevia sweetened or any other sugar-free stuff because it's still sweet and it still makes them want to go back to it. So it's got to be what works for you. Shelly, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to just pass. I was just curious. But since you called on me, I guess I'm grateful for your share today and your honesty. Just on how it's you've taken time to work towards your abstinence. I'm curious. I was curious, though. You haven't mentioned so much as how you've worked, how your higher power works in your process. You mentioned sponsorship and your program for eating, but how do you incorporate like your prayer and meditation and him into your program a little more?
Thanks, Shelly.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll be honest. I kind of figured somebody would ask me, and so I put in other things in my share that I could get to, because I figured somebody would bring it up in the Q&A and I could get to it then as well. So I start every morning. As soon as I wake up, I do a reading. I have it's the Food for Thought, and on the Hazelton website. Hazelton website has like 8 different readings now. My sponsor also sends me one, so as soon as he sends that, I usually try to get to that right away. And sometimes I'm half asleep when I do that first reading, and so if I don't remember it 10 minutes later, I do it again. But so I do my readings, I do my prayers right away, I do step 1, 2, and 3. So you know, I'm powerless, only my higher power can help me, right? Step 3, prayer. I do a 10 step every day. So at night, I send that over to my sponsor. I love that it ends in gratitude. Sorry, I'm going fast because I know my time's about up. I love that the gratitude is the last part, and it's a minimum of 5, but I try to add way more, especially on my worst days. That's been really helpful, adding more gratitudes to that. And 11th step, I try to do some prayer and meditation as well. Like, so I just taking deep breaths and thanking God, and I sponsor. So I have all of that in there. One of the other important things about it, I have to throw in before Melissa cuts me off, is that sometimes I don't get to do all of that in order. I'm in a rush. I didn't get to do my reading, but I still get it done today.
That's
And
the
that's the
time for
important part.
question and answer, Ryan. Thanks.
Thanks.